as of small boats, she was feeling stuffed. But Brody convinced her she had to try the coconut cream pie.
"I'll split it with you," he said.
One bite and she pulled the plate away. "Sorry, it's too good. I can't share."
"I figured as much," he said, and signaled the waitress for another piece.
By the time they left, though, she was wishing she had shared.
"I shouldn't have been such a pig," she groaned. "I'm going to explode." "Please wait till you get home. I don't want a mess in my car," he teased.
But he didn't take her right home. Instead, he drove out onto the beach where they watched the waves throw themselves onto the sand and the sky start to turn rosy as summer twilight turned to sunset.
"It's so beautiful," she said, laying her head back against the seat.
"So are you," he murmured.
She turned her head and smiled at him.
"My ex found someone prettier."
"I can't even imagine."
He smiled and leaned in, and the next thing she knew, he was kissing her. It had been way too long since someone kissed her with such appreciation, and for a moment she lapped it up like a cat, letting him have at it and threading her hands through all that beach boy blonde hair. But then she came to her senses and pulled away.
"This is not a good idea."
"Really? I thought it was a great idea."
"Brody Greene, I've got you figured out. You're the playboy of Moonlight Harbor."
He pouted. "You wound me."
"Oh? You take in even more territory?"
"I'm not a shallow ladies' man."
"You may not be shallow," Jenna conceded, "but it doesn't matter because I'm not in the market. Remember?"
"You don't want to be alone all your life," he told her.
"Maybe not. But I do want to be alone for the next year." "Well, not alone," she amended. It was nice going out to dinner with someone with a low voice and different body parts. It was nice to be wanted. "Just not involved."
"You're right. I'm a shit," Brody said, moving back behind the wheel. "You're still reeling from your divorce. The wound's still fresh. I remember that feeling."
"Yeah?"
"Oh, yeah. I went through a phase, believe me. Every woman was a user."
He shrugged.
"Sometimes I wonder if there's really not some truth to that. Present company accepted," he quickly added. "A lot of the ones I met were. I don't want to be somebody's ticket to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow."
"Yep, there'd be no hitting Brody up for a loan." He smiled at Jenna.
"You're different, Jenna. There's something so honest and vulnerable about you. You're like a movie heroine trying to make a go of something that doesn't want to go."
"I will make a go of that place," she said as much to herself as him.
"I hope you can," he said, and started the car.
Back home, she gave him a smile and a heartfelt thank you for a nice time, and her phone number.
"Not that I don't mind stopping by, but it would be handy to have," he had said.
But no kiss. One had been one too many. Kisses on a beach at twilight were how a woman lost all perspective, not to mention control. Would she ever lose control with a man again? Maybe in her dreams. She came dangerously close when Seth Waters invaded those dreams. There she was, bobbing happily on the water in a little dinghy, and a giant pirate ship pulled up next to her. He stood at the bow of the boat, his feet firmly planted, his chest bare and glistening. He'd grown his hair, and it hung under his pirate hat in dark dreadlocks. He'd grown a mustache, too, and he looked like Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow from all those Pirates of the Caribbean movies she'd loved to watch when she was a sweet, young, horny thing.
"Come with me," he said in that deep voice of his, and held out a hand to her. "We'll sail off to the Caribbean and make love on the beach."
How could she resist? She let him pull her up onto the boat and against his broad, oh baby, chest.
"I've wanted you ever since I first saw you," he whispered in her ear.
"Well, here I am," she told him.
"Just a minute."
She turned and saw Brody Greene striding toward them. He too was dressed like a pirate, only unlike Seth, his clothes were clean.
"She's already kissed me," he informed Seth. "Poor her," Seth sneered. Brody grabbed her arm and pulled her away. Come with me. I've got more money.
I've got more sex appeal, shot back Seth, taking the other arm and pulling.
I've got a sore arm, she protested. Neither man listened. In fact, they became so intent on fighting over her that she got shoved aside. The next thing she knew, she was pitching overboard and falling. Here came the waters, which had gone from sparkling blue to inky black. And what was that rising from the waves? Some sort of giant squid wearing a t-shirt that said Damien? And it could talk.
Oh boy, dinner.
Jenna awoke with a yelp. She brushed her hair out of her face and shook her head. Dream on, she told herself. We're not going there. Brody and Seth and the squid would have to carry on without her because she was sticking to her no-man vow. She settled back down into the pillows. Still, where were those two pirates? Could she find them again? Chapter 11 To do. Call Top Dog Roofing. Start painting rooms. Convince daughter this will be fun. Jenna's mom checked in when Jenna was getting ready for church. I'm glad you're settling in down there, she said to Jenna. Well, one of us is settling in, Jenna said, twisting her hair into a knot. It was a good thing that ombre highlights were in style because her roots were taking over. Sabrina is still not happy in Wonderland, and she's really not looking forward to church. The kids haven't exactly been welcoming. I'm probably going to have to pry her out of bed with a crowbar. Jealous girls? Mel guessed. You got it. Don't give up. There's bound to be a nice one in there somewhere. I wish she'd show up pretty soon. So, our baby's not enjoying herself at all? Oh, she is, as long as I'm spending money on her or doing something to keep her entertained. She's not enjoying helping with cleanup. She'd as soon go live with Damien as stay here with me. Jenna sighed. If he wanted her, would she be able to part with her daughter if it made her happy? Yes, if that was what it took. The very thought made tears rush to her eyes. That's a moot point, since he doesn't have custody. He'd claimed he wanted to be able to spend time with his daughter, even made sure the court entitled him to do so, but his actions didn't exactly speak louder than his words. She should give him the opportunity to prove it, call him and see if he could take Sabrina for a weekend visit. He could certainly manage that. Anyway, don't give up, Mel said. She'll adjust. I wish I could make her transition easier. It would be easier if she fixed her attitude. Maybe instead of trying to make her happy, you suggest she try and make herself happy, and then offer a bribe. Try to have a good attitude, and I'll let you live another day? That too. Seriously, what's she been wanting that you could dangle in front of her? As if Mom didn't know. Mom, she's too young. Honey, she's 14. Barely. Barely counts. Anyway, there's no school right now. You don't have to worry about earning the PTO stamp of approval. Let her color her hair. I don't know, said Jenna. Remember your 12th birthday? I know, you didn't want me to get my ears pierced. But we did it. You'd done all your chores without complaining for the whole month. It made a great reward and a perfect birthday present. That had been a memorable day of mother-daughter fun. Her mother had taken her to lunch at Red Robin first, and after the big ear-piercing event, they'd gone shopping for some pretty earrings with her birthstone. It had probably blown her mother's budget for the month, but the time together had been priceless. Ask Sabrina to try and be a cheerful helper for a week. If she can keep a smile on her face, you'll turn her hair purple. Or green, or whatever. Pink. Oh, yes, pink. Pink is nice. Think pink, pretty in pink, in the pink. You're right, Jenna conceded. What did it matter if her daughter had pink hair for the summer? It's a bargaining chip, Mel said. And Jenna could use all the bargaining chips she could get her hands on. They chatted a few more minutes, then ended the call so each could get ready for the day. Jenna finished putting on her makeup, mulling over behavior modification and bargaining chips. Hair was a good one.
but the best reward of all would be a visit to Daddy. In fact, that shouldn't be something to be earned. It should be something to be expected. Of course, when it came to Damien, expecting and getting were two different things. Still. On impulse, Jenna put in a call to him. Spending time together would be as good for him as it would be for Sabrina. And maybe if he began to act the part of good dad, he truly would become one. It took several rings for him to answer with a sleepy hello. Jenna didn't bother with niceties like, "Did I wake you?" Instead, she plunged right in. "Sabrina misses you. Can we set up a weekend visit?"
"What? When?"
He sounded panicked. "Next weekend."
"Why not?"
"I'll bring her up." She had a ton of things to do, but she'd carve out the time. A visit with her family and friends would do her good.
"I can't."
Balking, of course. She frowned. "Do you have an art show or something? She could come, you know."
"No, but you know where I'm living."
He made it sound as if it were her fault he'd wound up in his parents' basement, which had a bedroom, bathroom, mini kitchen, TV, couch, and pool table. Poor baby.
"There's no place for her here."
"Your parents have a spare room."
"It's being used."
Probably as his mom's sewing room. What a flimsy excuse.
"Jenna, it won't work right now. I want to see her, but I need time to pull my life together."
Ironic, considering he was the one who'd pulled it apart. Jenna felt her temper rising like the tide. "How much time do you need? When are you planning on seeing your daughter?"
"I'd have been able to see her any time I wanted if you hadn't moved to the other end of the world."
Oh, yes, it was all her fault. She forced herself to calm down and stay on point. "I can bring her up any time. We can stay at Mom's and you can pick her up there and go do something."
"Good idea. Later this summer, okay? After I get settled."
Who knew when that would be? "She misses you, Damien."
"And I miss her."
Yeah. Jenna could tell.
"But I'm in the middle of some things right now. I got a commission."
Here was a surprise. "You did?"
"A new theater is opening up in Icicle Falls, and they want something for the lobby."
Icicle Falls was a cute German town in the Cascades. Were they aware of Damien's medium? Was he going to make them something out of lederhosen and old tires? Okay, she could be gracious. "That's great!" And if he started getting enough commissions for his art, maybe he could become self-sufficient and she could renegotiate the maintenance settlement. Go Damien.
"Yeah, it is. My reputation is spreading."
"I'm glad for you."
"Sort of."
"Almost. So what can I tell Sabrina?"
"Hmm?"
He'd checked out of the conversation, moved on to envisioning himself as the next Dale Chihuly. "Your daughter?" she prompted.
"I know, I know. Just give me some time to adjust."
He had to be kidding. What was he adjusting to besides having no responsibility? "I'm still adjusting too, Damien," she said irritably.
"Wrong thing to say." "I'll take her when I'm ready. Quit pushing."
"I shouldn't have to push."
"And quit trying to guilt me into doing what you want. We're not married anymore, and I don't have to put up with your bullshit."
And on that pleasant note, he ended the call. Bullshit? Really? How was it pushing trying to pin down a time for him to see his own daughter? Jenna scowled at her phone. Anytime she tried to get him to act like a grown-up, he accused her of making him feel guilty. When he wasn't accusing her of that, he was complaining that she didn't understand him, didn't believe in him. Okay, so maybe after a while she had stopped believing. Or maybe she'd simply gotten tired of being the only grown-up in the relationship. Obviously, he'd gotten tired of that, which was where Aurora had come in. Peter Pan had needed a new Wendy. No, Wendy had been responsible. He'd wanted a Tinkerbell, and that was what he'd gotten. More like Tinker Boob. Tinker Boob and Peter Poop, Jenna thought in disgust. What was she going to tell Sabrina next time she talked about wanting to see Daddy? Not the truth, that was for sure. With a sigh, she made her way to her daughter's room to see if Sabrina had managed to haul herself out of bed yet. She hadn't. In fact, she'd slipped farther under the covers and pulled them over her head. "Come on, Lazy Daisy. Time to get up," Jenna said, forcing Mommy Good Cheer into her voice. She pulled the covers from her daughter's head and kissed her.
I don't want to get up, Sabrina groaned. I don't want to go to church.
She'd said the same thing about school when she was 8 and struggling with math. I know, but this isn't optional.
You are so mean, Sabrina informed her, pulling the covers back over her head.
It's in my job description. Jenna weighed her options. Be mean and drag the child out of bed? Threaten her with, what, no ice cream for a week? There would be no promise of a visit to Daddy to motivate an attitude adjustment. Okay, that left pink hair. She sat on the edge of her daughter's bed. It's a shame you're not being more cooperative. I was thinking if you tried to be more positive, I'd let you color your hair. Sabrina flung off the covers and sat up, her eyes bright.
Really?
I'm not wild about you doing this. Your hair is already gorgeous, Jenna began, making her daughter's mouth dip down at the corners. But if you could work on improving your attitude, a little less complaining...
I can!
No complaints about going to church. For a moment, Sabrina looked dubious, but then she came to a decision and nodded.
Okay.
All right, then. Let's see if you can make good on that promise.
I will. When can we do it?
When I see a change in your attitude. Sabrina frowned.
But when? Tomorrow?
Let's give it a few days. This is a big deal, Sabrina. I want you to earn it.
Okay, you're the best mom ever, Sabrina cried and hugged Jenna.
Yep, the best mom ever. For about 2 minutes. Sabrina was true to her word. She was all smiles at breakfast and set the table without being asked.
What are you so happy about?
Pete asked her as they dug into pancakes.
Mom's gonna let me dye my hair.
Pete rolled his eyes.
Why do women do that?
To look good, of course, Aunt Edie told him.
Men don't care about stuff like that, Pete said.
Oh, ever hear the saying, gentlemen prefer blondes, or blondes have more fun?
Aunt Edie replied.
You don't think Marilyn Monroe was born with that hair color, do you? Anyway, it's fun, an artistic expression.
She smiled at Sabrina.
What color are you thinking of?
Pink.
Pink? You'll look like you got cotton candy on your head, Pete said in disgust. Who dyes their hair pink?
Lots of girls these days, Jenna said, coming to her daughter's defense. Or maybe she was coming to her own. Good moms let their daughters go pink. Well, why not? Maybe she'd put some fun color in her hair and embarrass her child.
I think it's great that your mother's letting you do that, said Aunt Edie, who had obviously gotten the bribe the kid memo.
But remember, you have to hold up your end of the bargain, Jenna reminded Sabrina.
What's that? Pete wanted to know.
She's going to work on improving her attitude, Jenna told him, making Sabrina blush and frown at her. Okay, she shouldn't have shared.
Ha! Good luck with that,
Pete said, and shoveled in another mouthful of pancake.
Why'd you have to tell him?
Sabrina demanded once they were on their way to church. You're right. My bad. Our deal was none of his business.
I don't like him.
He's a little lacking in social skills, Jenna said.
A little?
Okay, a lot. And just between us, I'm not real fond of him either. But he's been kind to Aunt Edie and she likes him, so let's try to find the best in him.
Good luck with that, Sabrina said.
And good luck with her daughter making any effort to make friends. She didn't hang out in the foyer with Jenna, preferring to duck into the sanctuary and hide. Jenna watched her go with a sigh.
It will get better, Tyrella assured her.
Only if you can birth an instant 14-year-old for her to hang out with.
She'll find her feet. Transitions are tough on kids. It takes a while.
It's my fault she's here.
No, it's thanks to you that she's here. This will turn out to be a good thing for both of you. Wait and see.
How long do I have to wait?
For as long as it takes. Come on, let's go in and keep her company.
Pastor Paul Welch was in fine form that morning, and Jenna wished her daughter was paying attention. Even though Jenna had a no iPod in church rule to cut down on distraction, she knew from experience that a kid could tune out adult talk even without the aid of technology.
"And so," concluded Pastor, "if Abraham could strike out and leave behind his family and friends and way of life, surely we can be brave enough to tackle whatever challenge we're being called to meet."
Had Pastor Paul read Muriel Sterling's New Beginnings book?
"I think God gave Pastor that message just for you girls," Tyrella said when the service was over and the congregation began to leave the sanctuary.
"What do you think, Sabrina?"
Sabrina blushed, evidence that she hadn't been listening.
"I guess," she said, not meeting Tyrella's eye.
Tyrella chuckled.
"Run home and collect your aunt," she told Jenna. "Then you girls come on over to my place. I've got fried chicken, macaroni salad, green beans, and a key lime pie that will make you think you died and went to heaven."
"Sounds great. What can I bring?" Jenna asked.
"Just your sweet little aunt and a big appetite," Tyrella said. "And of course, your darling girl," she added, and gave Sabrina's cheek a pat.
"Hear that?" Jenna said to Sabrina as they left. "You're a darling."
"I'm your darling," Sabrina said, and linked arms with her.
With the promise of pink hair dancing on the horizon, yes, for the moment. No, always, no matter what. Tyrella's snug little bungalow was a two-story affair with lots of windows and a long front porch. It was painted the same creamsicle orange that was popular with some of the shops and other houses around town. Clumps of daisies and lavender hugged the porch and the front walk, and a big rhododendron with purple flowers made its presence known at one corner of the house. Wind chimes created from shells and beach glass and tiny bits of driftwood tinkled a welcome.
"Isn't this adorable?" Aunt Edie gushed as they made their way to the front door. "Tyrella has such flair."
"It makes me think of fairy tales," Sabrina observed. Her daughter was right. Jenna could almost imagine pixies hiding under the roadie or envision Snow White inside, tidying up before the dwarfs came home. Tyrella did indeed have flair.
"Welcome, ladies," she said, throwing wide the door.
"This is really sweet of you to have us," Jenna told her.
"I love having people over for Sunday dinner," she said. Obviously, they entered to discover they weren't her only dinner guests. Tyrella had also invited the pastor. "I thought you two should get to know each other," she said to Jenna and Pastor Paul. "Seeing as how you're new in town and all, Jenna," she hastily added. Too late. She'd already betrayed her ulterior motive. But seriously? As if the pastor would be interested in someone newly divorced. Or divorced at all. Pastors were supposed to have it together. The same thing held true for their wives. Jenna doubted she'd qualify, even if she wanted to.
"Nice to see you again," he said politely, after Tyrella had introduced everyone. "This was your second Sunday with us, wasn't it?"
"As a matter of fact, it was," Jenna said.
"I hope everyone's making you both feel welcome," he said.
"Most everyone."
"Yes," Jenna answered for herself and her daughter.
"You're not going to see me in church," Aunt Edie informed him. "All the churches these days play the music way too loud."
He took the scold with a good-natured smile.
"I know."
"But I think Jenna's enjoying it," Aunt Edie continued.
"Your sermons sure fit my life right now," Jenna told him.
"I'm glad," he said with a nod. "I just say what I think God wants me to say. So," he continued, still smiling, "is your husband going to be coming down with you?"
Awkward as a fart in church.
Silence, a pout from Sabrina, a flush across Jenna's face, and an uh-oh look on the pastor's.
"They're divorced," Aunt Edie said.
"Oh, I'm sorry."
"These things happen," Aunt Edie said. "Tyrella, can we help you?"
Tyrella, who had been standing frozen, came to life.
"You sure can. Sabrina, are you any good at cutting French bread?"
"I don't know," Sabrina said, still frowning.
"Come on, let's find out," Tyrella said, and she and Aunt Edie escaped, herding Sabrina into the kitchen, leaving Jenna and Paul standing in the living room.
He motioned to the sofa and she sat down. He took a chair opposite.
I'm sorry I stepped in it just now. Tyrella didn't tell me.
I guess she figured you'd find out. Anyway, it's all good. Or it would be. Eventually.
You couldn't pick a better place to hit restart, said Paul.
You're right, and I'm ready to. It wasn't my idea to get divorced, she couldn't help adding. I'm not the sinner here.
Things happen, he said.
Other women happen. She felt her cheeks heating. Sorry, I guess I'm still working through things.
I guess that's all right, he said, giving her a sympathetic nod.
Tyrella was putting food on the table now, and the aroma of chicken wafted over to Jenna. That smells great, she said, drifting over to the table. Paul, too, followed his nose and smiled appreciatively at the large platter. A huge bowl of macaroni salad enhanced with crab and shrimp followed, along with French bread, green beans, and a spinach salad.
This was Leroy's favorite Sunday dinner, Tyrella told everyone after she'd had Paul say grace and the food had been passed around. The only thing he liked better than having company was eating.
It helps when you're married to a good cook, Paul said to her.
She pointed a chicken leg at him.
You need to find yourself a good cook.
Subtle, very subtle. They had just started their pie when he got a call.
I'd better take this, he said after checking his phone's caller ID. It's Janice Walters.
Of course. Her mother's in the hospital, not doing well, Tyrella explained as Paul left the table, phone to his ear.
He seems like a nice young man, Aunt Edie said.
He is, Tyrella assured her, and they both looked expectantly at Jenna.
She smiled and kept her mouth shut, except to insert more key lime pie.
This is really good, Sabrina said.
It's real easy to make, Tyrella said. I'll give you all the recipe.
Paul was off the phone now.
Sorry, I'm going to have to leave. Janice's mom just passed, and I need to get to the Aberdeen Hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry, said Tyrella. You want me to call around and start arranging for meals?
That would be great. Good to meet you all, he said, not singling Jenna out in any way.
Which was fine with her. She didn't need to add any more men to her collection. The women passed the rest of the afternoon teaching Sabrina how to play triominoes, and she was in a happy mood when they finally left, and that made Jenna happy. Sabrina got even happier when they arrived home, and Aunt Edie proposed a movie marathon.
I think every girl should get to watch the Alfred Hitchcock classics, Aunt Edie said, pulling out an old video cassette of Rear Window. This movie had me on the edge of my seat when I first watched it, but that was nothing compared to The Birds.
A movie about birds? Sabrina asked dubiously.
A horror movie about birds?
Horror movie. The magic words.
Let's watch that one, Sabrina said.
Oh, I don't know if your mother would want you watching that, Aunt Edie said, looking to Jenna.
Her father's let her watch worse, believe me, Jenna said.
Well, all right then, Aunt Edie said, digging around in the cabinet where she kept her outdated technology.
That will be our encore movie. You know, I have almost every movie Alfred Hitchcock ever did. He was a genius.
They settled in with popcorn and root beer and watched Jimmy Stewart spy on his neighbors.
That was pretty good, Sabrina said when it was done. Grace Kelly sure was pretty.
No prettier than your own lovely mother, Aunt Edie said. She could have been a movie star.
The one who could have done that was Celeste. She was the ham, said Jenna.
You could totally have been a movie star, Mom, Sabrina said, and Jenna was touched by the compliment.
They were about to move on to the invasion of the birds, and Jenna was in the kitchen in search of a pop refill when Courtney called the house looking for her.
You up for going to the Drunken Sailor for some line dancing? She asked.
Oh, I don't know, said Jenna. I'm not too into country music. Although the idea of line dancing appealed to her.
But do you like to dance?
Who doesn't like to dance? Jenna replied.
If you have a chance to go out, don't feel you have to stay here with us, said Aunt Edie, who'd come to the kitchen in search of cookies for the next movie course.
They have a lesson at 7 where they teach you a couple of dances before it starts, Courtney said. And besides, unless you're into playing pool, this is about as good as the nightlife down here gets. Why not? Jenna put on some jeans and a pair of flats and slipped away, leaving Aunt Edie and Sabrina to watch the birds peck out people's eyes. At least after that, Sabrina couldn't complain about not getting to watch any horror films. The drunken sailor had a good crowd of landlubbers perched on bar stools, playing darts or pool, and hanging out at the edge of the small dance floor. In fact, it looked like just about every single person in town under the age of 50 was there, including Brody, who sauntered over to say hi as soon as he caught sight of her. He was wearing jeans and a black t-shirt that showed off well-toned pecs and biceps. Brody Green sauntered well. Not that she was interested. It was just an observation.
"I see you decided to give line dancing a try," he said.
"Aunt Edie and Sabrina are watching the birds. I decided this was better for my psyche. I want to be able to walk on the beach without fearing a seagull attack."
"They will dive bomb you when they're nesting," he warned.
"Just so they don't peck out my eyes. Anyway, nothing's going to happen to me in here."
"Sprained ankle," he teased.
"You going to risk spraining your ankle?"
"Not me. I'm here to watch."
He held up a bottle of Hale's ale.
"And drink."
"You should try it, Brody," Courtney said. "I bet you'd be great."
"That's okay. I'd rather watch you girls anyway," he said with a grin.
More people were drifting over to the dance floor, including one of the cops who'd come to rescue Jenna from her faux burglar. He came over to say hi to Jenna. "You know Vic?" Courtney asked, looking from one to another.
"Not really," he said. "Victor King."
"King of my heart," teased Courtney, making him blush.
"So how do you guys know each other?" "I thought we had a burglar. He came to check it out," Jenna explained. "So embarrassing," she said with a shake of her head. It turned out to be Aunt Edie's handyman, Pete. He sneaked into the house to make himself a sandwich. Courtney snickered.
"Still, you'd rather have that than the real thing. Not that we have that many burglars down here," she quickly added.
"Nope," Vic said. "It gets a little boring."
"I'd rather have you bored than me scared," Courtney told him.
Jenna caught sight of Austin Banks in the corner, talking with a man in his 50s who had long hair, a beard, and a beer belly. He was setting up their sound system for the night.
"If you haven't met her yet, that's Austin Banks," Courtney explained. "Her husband, Roy, runs the music for us."
A moment later, Austin was taking the floor, calling, "Come on, y'all, let's get going." The dancers began to form lines in back of her, and Jenna followed Courtney onto the floor and placed herself next to her. Vic placed himself next to Jenna. Austin pointed at her.
"Well, you came out. Good for you. Well, y'all, this is Jenna Jones. She's running the Driftwood Inn now."
Several women murmured hello, and a couple of men looked her way eagerly.
"I got a new dance to teach you tonight. It's called the Twisted Pony."
More like Twisted Feet, Jenna thought as she tried to keep up with the various step patterns.
"And a grapevine and a hitch," Austin said, and demonstrated.
"I thought you said this was easy," Jenna said to Courtney.
"You'll catch on," Courtney assured her.
They went through the whole song without music, and then, just as Jenna thought she had the steps down, Austin called to her husband,
"Okay, Roy, give us some music."
And everything went into fast motion. Half the time, Jenna found herself either doing the wrong step or facing the wrong way. Great. And she'd thought it would be fun to do this? She hated looking stupid, and she could feel her cheeks sizzling. But nobody seemed to care. A couple of times, Vic caught her by the shoulders and gently turned her the right direction.
"You'll catch on," he said after the dance ended.
Then he called to Austin.
"Hey, Austin, how about something easy for the newcomer?"
"Sure," Austin said. "Let's do Footloose," somebody called.
"A fast song?" "Oh boy," Jenna said under her breath.
"No, let's give her something real easy," said Vic.
Austin nodded.
"We'll do the Electric Slide."
"That old song?"
groaned a 20-something redhead.
"Just to get her started. Then we'll do Footloose and Drunken Dreams."
Jenna was beginning to think she needed a drink. But the Electric Slide turned out to be easy, and it gave her enough confidence to stick around for another dance.
Pretty soon, she was kicking and flicking with the best of them. Okay, that is fun, she said to Courtney as they went to the bar to order soft drinks.
You looked good out there, Brody told her as they joined him.
You should come dance with us, you big chicken, she teased.
Maybe next time.
Right, that's what he says every Sunday night, Courtney said. Jenna laughed, took a sip of her drink, and looked around, checking out the rest of the patrons. That was when she saw Seth Waters. He was standing at a pool table in the corner, leaning on his pool cue and watching a blonde in tight jeans and a low-cut top take a shot. It looked like Seth Waters was making new friends. Well, good for him. Jenna laughed after a couple more dances. Nothing to do with Seth, of course. She had to get up in the morning. Sabrina was still in a good mood the next morning. Jenna came in from a beach walk to find her in the kitchen, helping Aunt Edie make oatmeal muffins. Her expression wasn't quite so sunny when Jenna mentioned their painting job. Obviously, painting didn't hold the same excitement as walking around on a roof. It only took one word to motivate her. Hair.
Okay, she said with a sigh.
Pete was no more excited than Sabrina, and as they worked, he groaned every time he bent to dip his roller in the paint tray. They were covering the walls a light brown shade, aptly named Sandy Beach. She only hoped the tarp would keep the roof dry enough to save them from getting a river running down her sandy beach wall. Finally, by noon, Pete was done groaning. He was done. Period.
That's enough for one day, he informed Jenna.
Can I quit too, Mom? Sabrina asked. Yes, you worked hard. Good job, Jenna said, making her smile. How about you go help Aunt Edie make lunch? Bring me back a tuna sandwich. Sabrina nodded and was gone. Then it was just Jenna and her paint roller singing Stand By You along with Rachel Platten, who was serenading her from her iPad. The song had such a great beat. Before she knew it, she was dancing as well as singing. Her performance ended to applause, and she whirled around to see Seth Waters leaning against the door.
You missed your calling.
She was blushing. She knew it. You have a way of sneaking up on people. You know that? He smiled and pushed away from the door.
All your helpers on lunch break?
No, done for the day.
Not you, though, huh?
It has to get finished. At that moment, Sabrina returned with a sandwich on paper plate and a glass of lavender lemonade. Do you want a sandwich? Jenna offered. The calico cat that Jenna had seen hanging around before approached, lured by the smell of tuna. She broke off a piece and absently handed it over, and the cat took it, dropped it on the ground, and hunkered down to enjoy its snack. Seth wasn't interested. He shook his head and picked up an abandoned paint roller.
I'm good.
She'd just bet he was.
Can I go get an ice cream? Sabrina asked.
Yes, but don't go anywhere else without letting us know where you are. Got it? Sabrina nodded vigorously and vanished.
She seems like a good kid, Seth said as he began work on the wall opposite Jenna's.
She is, for the most part.
Reminds me of my little sister, he said.
Where does she live?
California. Both my sisters are there. And my mom.
You wound up a long way from home.
Guess so, but so did my brother.
How come you didn't wind up in Tacoma with him?
I like the beach.
She'd buy that.
Me too, she said.
Still, she didn't think she'd want to wind up someplace by herself.
So, you don't know anybody around here?
He shrugged.
You?
I mean anybody else.
Nope.
You just came here without knowing anyone?
I came here because it looked like a good place to start a business.
Especially the business you're starting. Looked like you made a new friend at the Drunken Sailor. She couldn't resist adding, and looked out the corner of her eye to see his reaction. His smile was downright cocky.
Were you watching me?
No, she insisted, wishing she didn't blush so easily. He chuckled.
I was watching you. You looked pretty good out there on the dance floor.
How come you weren't out there?
I was later. You and the house peddler had both left by then.
We didn't come together, she said. Somehow it seemed important for Seth to know that.
There were plenty of women left to keep you company, she added, shifting the spotlight back on Seth.
Yeah,
he agreed, not offering any further information. She frowned. I can't believe there's no one special in your life.
No chance to find someone, he said.
Been too busy?
Something like that.
Well, there seem to be plenty of women around here, Jenna said casually.
Are you a matchmaker in your spare time?
He teased. All women are matchmakers in their spare time.
You're probably right about that. So what about you? There's plenty of guys in this town. Looks like the house peddler's already found you.
We're just friends. He grunted.
The F word.
I know, guys hate that, almost as much as women hate hearing, it didn't mean a thing. If only Damien had said that to her. But he hadn't. His affair with Aurora had meant something. Jenna scowled at her sandy beach. Why can't men be faithful?
Some can.
You ought to wear badges or something. That way we'd know.
Love's a crapshoot, he said. Hell, all of life's a crapshoot.
Jenna wished he'd say more on that topic. What roll of the dice had affected his life? Who was Seth Waters, really? Even though they spent 3 hours together painting, she didn't learn much more beyond the fact that he liked nachos, thought boy bands were stupid, and loved a good cage fight. She tried to pry more information out of him about his family, but failed. Instead, he would turn the table on her, asking about her family. I think you know my whole life history now, she said as they cleaned up the brushes and rollers. But I hardly know anything about you.
My life's not that interesting, he said.
Which she strongly suspected was a big, fat lie. What was the story with Seth Waters? I'll find out, she murmured as he drove off in his truck, headed for who knew where. I'll find out. Chapter 12. To do. Paint. 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 Try to be a good mother. Tuesday brought more painting, and while Sabrina didn't complain, she didn't exactly smile over the prospect. Remember attitude, Jenna prompted. I'm doing it, Mom. That should count for something, Sabrina said. Jenna let the pissy tone of voice slide, deciding to blame it on those aliens Nora had talked about at the women's gathering the Friday before. Once they got started on the painting, the alien took a rest. Pete was working in the next room, so it gave Jenna and Sabrina time for some mother-daughter visiting, although the visiting appeared to have a hidden agenda.
A new boy moved in next door to Marigold, Sabrina informed Jenna, filling her in on the perfect world of home.
Lucky her. Is he cute?
Yeah, said with a tinge of jealousy.
You'll meet cute boys down here.
I'm never going to meet anybody down here, said the little prophetess of doom. Then she slid into a new topic. Marigold's dad is taking them to a Mariners game.
Marigold's dad was very involved with his kids. Marigold's mommy had chosen more wisely than Sabrina's mommy. Sabrina was quiet a moment, focusing on her paint roller. Jenna braced herself for what was coming next. Sure enough.
Can we go back and visit Grandma this weekend? I want to see Daddy.
But Daddy wasn't in a hurry to see her. He'd made that clear enough. Honey, I'd love that, but I've already got massage clients lined up for Saturday. Not that she wouldn't have canceled every one if Damien had cooperated.
And we've got too much to do here, she added for good measure. It's going to be a little while before we can get back. But Daddy misses me.
Jenna felt sick at heart. If only.
I'm sure he does, but that's the beauty of technology. You can Skype and text. That's why you've got an iPod.
It's not the same, Sabrina grumbled.
Honey, Daddy's a little busy sorting out his life, too, just like we are.
And we are not part of it.
Okay, then, can Marigold come here? You said she could come for a visit.
As soon as we get the driftwood up and running, Jenna promised. So the sooner we get the work done, the sooner we can play. Sabrina put in an extra hour. She was just leaving to take pictures when Seth showed up.
Good job, High Flyer, he told her.
Jenna looked to see how her daughter would take that nickname. She hadn't appreciated being called kiddo by Brody. She was smiling. Thanks. She's about to go take some more beach pictures. We're going to frame the best ones and hang them on the walls in the rooms, Jenna said.
Cool,
Seth said, and Sabrina left looking happy.
She's in a good mood, he observed.
We're working on attitude improvement. I promised her she could have her friend down once we got some of the work done here, and that she could dye her hair.
Then life is good, he said, and picked up a paint roller.
Yes, it is, Jenna agreed. My business cards came this morning.
Got any customers lined up?
Clients, she corrected him.
Ah, clients,
he said, his tone of voice mocking her. As a matter of fact, I do. One of them happens to be the mayor.
Whoa, I guess this means you've made it.
Don't be mocking me. The mayor can open a lot of doors.
Oh, who told you that?
No one, Jenna admitted. I just know it helps to know people.
Yeah, I guess.
How's your business coming along? Any better than mine, smart guy?
I picked up 3 new clients this morning.
Seth Waters was a smart mouth, but an ambitious one.
I figure by September I'll be going full-time.
Okay, that was impressive. She hoped she could get the motel whipped into shape half that quickly. At the rate Seth's business was picking up, she'd be lucky if she could. The window of time when she'd have his afternoon help was quickly shrinking. Not a good thing considering who her other laborers were. I better take advantage of you while I can, she said. That hadn't come out right.
I'm all for women taking advantage of me.
He probably didn't have any trouble finding ones to do it, either. They worked on companionably, accompanied by the various singers on the playlist on Jenna's vintage iPad. Seth Waters was easy to be around. Hotter than jalapenos, hard-working, certainly not hard to please considering the subpar living conditions she'd offered him. Attentive and interested in her, asking questions about her family and her life. Even if the motivation for that might be to deflect from having to answer any questions himself. She liked his sense of humor and quick wit. Most of all, she liked the fact that he didn't discourage her from bringing the driftwood back to life, and she said as much.
I think you should be going for it. This is a cool old place. You gotta go for your dreams, Jenna. Life's too short not to.
A man who listened and who was supportive? You didn't see that every day. You hardly ever saw it at all. Why was he single? It seemed like he ought to have a girlfriend. I just don't get it, she said later when they were cleaning up.
Don't get what?
Why you don't have a girlfriend?
I'm alone right now because that's how I like it, he said. Same as you.
And that ended that particular conversation. But it didn't stop her from mulling over the mystery of his private life. Until Herbie from Top Dog Roofing showed up to give her an estimate on fixing the roof.
Not sure how you expect someone to be able to tell with that blue tarp up there, he said to her, and scratched his massive chest.
I had to do something. The roof leaks. He nodded.
I know. Actually, your aunt had me out about a year ago.
She did? This was the first Jenna had heard of it. And why didn't he say so when she first talked to him? Did you give her an estimate?
I told her it would probably be about 60K.
Jenna swallowed. That was even worse than what Brody had guessed. 60,000?
Give or take. We never got as far as a written estimate.
She could see why. How much would you charge to just patch the bad spots? Herbie was shaking his head before she even finished with her question.
I wouldn't advise that. Not with all the patching this place needs. You may as well replace the whole roof with the investment you'd have to make in all those patches.
No problem. She'd just go to her safety deposit box and pull out a few wads of bills. She felt her throat tightening and the tear spigot turning on.
Want me to give you a written estimate?
Sure, she managed. Although what was the point?
Okay, I'll get it to you as soon as I can.
Take your time.
It would be a million years before she could afford to hire him, which meant it would be a million years before the motel could start earning its keep.
You're smart to get on this right away, Herbie told her. You don't want to let it go another winter.
She nodded and stayed put until he got in his truck and drove off. Then she, too, took off to indulge in a good cry, leaving Seth to deal with the last of the cleanup. She heard him call her name, but she kept going, picking up her pace. She was late for a pity party. She threaded her way through the beach grass and over sand dunes until she arrived at the shore. The sun was out, the sky was blue, and she was under the world's biggest black cloud. She plopped on a giant piece of driftwood, bent over, and let the tears fall. This was hopeless. A hand on her shoulder had her about jumping out of her skin.
Hey there, no crying allowed on a nice day.
You scared the tar out of me, she accused, taking a swipe at her eyes. And it's not a nice day. Seth settled next to her.
How much did he think it was going to cost?
$60,000. Right now, I don't even have $60. Or she wouldn't once she finished paying for all the things she'd already ordered for the driftwood.
That is tough, Seth agreed.
Jenna gave a bitter chuckle. It's not tough. It's the end. No way are we going to be able to get this place renovated.
So you're going to give up, just like that.
She scowled at him. What would you do?
Keep fighting.
He picked up a rock and gave it a toss. Easy for you to say. Your business is all coming together. That sounded lovely. She gave a disgusted grunt. Sorry. Crab in the pot syndrome.
What's that?
You know, you're boiling the crab. They're all going to die. One tries to climb out, but the others pull him back in. If we can't get out, neither can you.
Ah.
He nodded. I'm being a jerk, she admitted. I'm just tired of getting dumped on. First Damien, now all this. My mom says every storm has a rainbow. I'm having trouble finding mine.
You will.
He edged closer and put an arm around her, probably to comfort her, but it did more than that. She could smell the musky scent of a hard-working man. His thigh was touching hers, all manly and muscly. She got a sudden case of arrhythmia.
It could be worse. As long as you're not in prison, life is good.
Well, that's a little extreme.
He shrugged. Still.
Right now, prison doesn't sound so bad. Free room and board. His arm disappeared from around her shoulders.
Stuff like that's not funny.
I thought it was.
That's because you've never been in prison.
Oh, and you have? He was silent a moment, then said,
I knew someone who was. It about ruined his life.
Someone in your family?
It doesn't matter. My point is, you need to put things in perspective. Don't give up, Jenna. Rebuilding is hard, but it beats going nowhere.
With that, he gave her shoulder a squeeze and left. His pep talk hadn't so much encouraged her as consumed her with curiosity. Who was Seth talking about? Had someone in his family gone to prison? He'd been pretty evasive. In fact, he'd been evasive ever since he arrived. A feeling of foreboding crept over her. Who was he talking about, really? She pulled her phone out of her pants pocket and began to surf the internet. She started her search with the name Seth Waters. There were tons of Seth Waterses, including an up-and-coming country singer. Okay, narrow the search. She began hooking his name with charming words like prison and sentencing. And then she found him. In an article from the Los Angeles Times. Not front page news, but it was there all the same. She read the headline, and terror cloaked her. Seth Waters, sentenced. As she continued to read, her eyes got wider and wider. Oh no. Oh no! They were harboring a criminal. Former criminal, she corrected herself. Was there such a thing? She left the beach, hurrying back to the motel to... What? Ask Seth to leave? Yes, for sure. She got back to discover that he'd finished cleaning up for her. A considerate criminal. Former criminal, criminal. His truck was still in the parking lot, which meant he was in his room. By the time she approached his door, her heart was hammering so hard she was sure it was going to explode. Should she confront him all by herself? Wasn't this just as stupid as what she'd done the other night, going downstairs in a dark house to catch a burglar with her tiny can of pepper spray? Idiot girl, too. She'd barely knocked before he opened the door.
I wondered how long it would take you, he greeted her.
What? He pointed to the cell phone in her trembling hand. She stuffed the phone in her back pocket and bit on her lip.
I'd ask you to come in, but I suspect you're afraid.
I'm not afraid, she lied, and stepped inside. He leaned against the wall, crossed his arms.
So?
So what happened?
You just read what happened.
I want you to tell me. Did you shoot the man on purpose? His brows dipped.
Of course, on purpose.
It was suddenly very cold in Seth Waters' room. Jenna rubbed her arms, trying to warm up.
That son-of-a-bitch drug dealer got my little sister hooked on heroin.
There was something that hadn't been mentioned in the article she'd read. Still, he'd shot a man. She opened her mouth to speak, but nothing came out. She had no idea what to say, what to do.
I know. That makes me look like a real badass.
That was putting it mildly. All Jenna could do was nod.
More like a dumbass.
He shook his head.
I had a good job working in construction. Almost had enough money saved to go back to school and finish up my degree. Everything was looking good. But after what he did to Monica, I found out where the rat bastard lived and went to his place and shot him as soon as he opened his door. Got him in the shoulder.
Her hands were still shaking. She was shaking all over. She shoved them in her back pockets to steady them. She had to have looked as shocked as she felt.
I guess I'd watched too many Vin Diesel and Clint Eastwood movies, he said. Somehow I thought I could ride in, take out the bad guy, and everything would be okay. You'd think by 27 I'd have known better. I was convicted. Assault with a deadly weapon is a felony.
He'd tried to kill someone. Jenna was finding it difficult to breathe. She'd seen those action movies, too. In the movies, it seemed so right when the hero took matters into his own hands and took out the bad guy. But this was real life. It was hard to speak, hard to think, even. She found herself sliding down the wall to sit on the floor. He sat down next to her, shoulder to shoulder, but didn't look at her. An eternity of silence passed before she finally asked, "What happened to the drug dealer?" Seth gave a snort.
No idea. For all I know, he's still out there somewhere, responsible for God knows how many deaths.
Jenna nodded, taking that in, trying to process it all. If you could have a do-over, would you do it again? He focused on the wall opposite and let out his breath.
I've asked myself that a million times. Each time the answer is different. I know nobody has the right to take another person's life.
He shook his head.
But it was my little sister. My dad wasn't in the picture. It was just me, my younger brother, and sister, and Monica, the baby. I guess I felt like, as the oldest, I needed to make things right.
How did the rest of your family feel?
His jaw tightened. Pissed. I wasn't a hero to them. I was a fool, an embarrassment. I broke my mom's heart. She already had her hands full with Monica, and then I had to go and do what I did. I just wanted that bastard to pay.
He will, someday.
Do you believe that?
I do, Jenna said. I think. I hope.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I guess I wanted to be the tool God used. I was a tool, all right.
What happened with your family?
My mom came to see me every week. My sisters wrote me. I kicked around for a while, trying to figure out what to do. My brother finally loaned me the money to start this business.
Your life's been like
a bad movie,
he finished for her. The question that had been plaguing her ever since she did her internet search demanded to be asked.
So, are you a violent man? Well, duh. He'd shot someone.
He looked at her, and it was hard to